Okay, so the question is, why can't I turn on my own toes? Okay. Now, we've all gone to classes about long jobs. We've all learned the English in which we've been taught a little bit about the Sukkot Shabbos. But there seems to be a big gap between one and the other, right? We have these Sukkot that say, don't do any work on Shabbos. Right, that's one thing. On the other hand, we get involved in these very technical things about, you know, if I serve fish with bones and, you know, or I want to clear off the table, or I want to set the table, or I want to wash dishes Friday night, and how do I have to put aside the things, you know, like, well, somehow, this idea of don't do work on Shabbos somehow doesn't seem to be related to how I'm clearing out my forks and spoons. There seems to be a big gap between that. Then we get into the things about the laws of Muktzah and all these complicated, strange rules about how I'm supposed to clear off the table and how I just... But hey, one second. What has that got to do with God? You know? And what does it have to do with the Bible? Or the Torah? You know, and these are... And that's where our goal for the in-between, which is what my topic today is. The in-between step here. Now, you know, the Torah says don't do work on Shabbos. The Torah said that the Mishkan is very important, but make sure you keep Shabbos, which implies that don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos, from which we say that, well, there were 39 activities called malachos that were involved in building the Mishkan, and therefore those are the 39 types of activity that we're not supposed to do on Shabbos. Yeah, no, somehow, it needs a little salt and pepper, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like I'm really going to serve to a guest. Right? It doesn't sound like somebody want to cut over to somebody and say, well, this I can explain to all of us. We're missing something. So let's start first. I want to start with, first of all, what's the word for work on Shabbos for working in Hebrew?
Avodah.
Avodah is the word for work. Okay. Does the Torah ever say you're not allowed to do Avodah Shabbos?
No.
Okay. The Torah says you're not allowed to do
Malacha.
Malacha is a very strange word. Particularly if you think about it, and I just digress it for a second, it's not so clear. You know, Hebrew words have a shurish.
Yeah, Malacha.
And shurish is usually three letters. And Malacha has four letters in the shurish, which is a big question, which I'm not going to into. But there's one other word that has the exact same root, which is malach, which means an angel or a messenger. Okay? So there's something to do with these two words, angels and work forbidden activity on Shabbos, that they seem to defy our other rules. Okay? Just pointing it out, okay? So the Torah said we're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. It never says not to do avodah on Shabbos. Okay, very simply put, if I have to get from Harnof to Neve Yaakov on Shabbos, which is going to be the easiest way to get there? Driving a car is going to be the easiest way to get there. If you don't hit traffic, it can be done in 20 minutes by car. An hour by bus, 20 minutes by car. In traffic, of course, 2 hours. We all know that. Okay? And there's no traffic in this country on Shabbos because a lot of people are over Shabbos, so there's very little traffic. There's almost never a traffic jam on Shabbos in this country. So, to get from Harnof to Yaakov, where I live, on Shabbos, 20 minutes and I'm there and I'm not winded. Right? And how do I have to do it if I keep Shabbos?
Walk.
Okay, how long a walk is it?
A while.
I'll let you try. I've never tried it. I can tell you that when I was younger, I used to, on a couple of occasions, I walked from the Yaakov to Ramat Eshkol, or to Sahedri, which is a lot closer than Harnof is to us, and that's an hour walk. I don't think at this stage of my life I would dare try it. Okay, so from us to Harnof, it's a 3-4 hour walk, I would imagine. Maybe not. I have no nephews who've done it. Huh?
Not so long.
Yeah, 3 hour walk at your age.
You should
probably. Right? Why not? Anyway, so in terms of Avoda, it's quite clear which is the greater Avoda?
Walking.
The walking. And which is the Malacha?
Driving.
So clearly, Avodah and Malacha have very little in common. If anything in common, very little. Okay. Now, there's certain terminology I'm going to run back and forth over, and I'm going to mention them already now so it becomes clear. There are 39 avos malachos. Avos is the plural of av. Av malacha should be translated into English as?
Father.
Category. Okay. But the plural of dad is, okay, anyway. So, avos malacha should be translated as category. Okay? Yes, category in terms of, you know, you have daddies and then you have subcategories. And tologos would be translated as?
Children.
Subcategories.
Children.
Okay. So avos are going to be counted as categories. Tologos are subcategories. Okay. There are 39 malachos of Shabbos. How many tologos are there on Shabbos?
100,000.
Okay. Well, the Rishonim quotes. Talmud Yerushalmi, which is the Gemara, but the normal Gemara we use regularly is the Talmud Bavli.
Isn't there 50 in
these ones? The Talmud Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, two great scholars, sat down and studied the laws of Shabbos for 3.5 years. And when they were finished, they realized that on the 39 Avos Malachos, they were able to find out on each of the Avos Malachos, they had at least 39 tolls. How many told us in that give? Somebody's put their head in arithmetic and tell me. Greater than?
Five.
Okay, something like that. Yeah, about 1,500, okay? Now, we are hard-pressed on so many of us full office to find more than one. So they understood Shabbos much better than we did. Okay, that's for sure. But let's give an example so we understand what we're talking about. We're talking about toldus malachos. So we're just going to back you. What is an av malachos? What's a toldus malachos? So I'm going to give an example of about a dozen of the avos malachos. Okay, plowing, that's an avalocha. Planting is an avalocha. Reaping, which means what?
Harvesting.
No, I didn't use the word harvesting, I said it was reaping. There's a reason why I use the word reaping and not harvesting. Because harvesting can mean, right, reaping, which is cutting it from the ground. It can mean gathering, which is when you pick it up after it's cut from the ground. That's a separate malacha called ma'amer. Okay, and harvesting can mean all sorts of other things. Okay, including for those who are in the medical fields, harvesting organs, which is a whole different understanding of what that means. Okay, so I didn't use the word harvesting for that reason because it's too broad a term. It has too many meanings. I use the word reaping and the word gathering, and those are two separate malachas. Anybody who has any questions what I mean when I say reaping, when I say gathering? Okay, this is just threshing. For those who know what it is, winnowing, most people have no idea what winnowing is anymore today. Selecting, cooking, laundering, tanning, knotting, weaving, sewing, building, trapping, lighting a fire, writing, completing the manufacture of an object. Those are just a few. We have others. Okay? If I use any terms that you don't know what they mean, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you a general way that we should know what are the types of things that we consider avos malachos. Okay? Now, what is a toldos malacha? A subcategory of one of the avos malachos. So let me give you a couple of examples that we know what we're talking about. Okay? An av malacha is sewing. What is sewing?
Sewing or sewing?
Sewing, F-E-W-I-N-G. Okay. Sewing is, what do you do when you're sewing? You're taking two pieces of cloth, right, and you're making it into one.
Okay.
That's the av malacha. Now, the toldos malacha of sewing is gluing. Gluing. Okay, like if you take binder's paste and you glue together the binding on a book. Okay? Really permanent gluing. Okay? Now, why do I point that? Now you see right away the association. Sewing is attaching things one way. Gluing is attaching things a different way. Okay? That's why it's a told. It's a subcategory. It shares a common purpose, goal, right? But it's a different activity. Okay, here's another example. One of the avos malachos is planting. Okay, we all know what planting is. We planted ourselves probably at times. Okay, a tolda of planting is watering. or fertilizer. Okay? You see that the goal is the same, right? We're taking something, right? But the, that's a little different. One is getting things to grow originally, one is getting things to grow better, right? It's necessary for it, right? You see the idea. In cooking, a toldo, according to one of the opinions, is stirring. Okay? When you stir a pot, right, you make it cook better, right? Cooking may be putting the pot on the fire, right? Once it's on the fire, you know that most things will not cook well unless they're stirred, right? So the stirring, while it's in the process of being cooked, right, is a toldo, it's a subcategory. Okay? So we see the difference between an ob and a toldo. Obs are headings, toldos are our subcategories. Okay. Now, let's stop for a second, and we want to understand, if we can, okay, a general principle of all the halachos. All of the halachos are going to have a general principle.
Okay.
Sorry? No. Let me talk, okay? Give me a chance, okay? It was a rhetorical question, okay? With one halacha that's going to be harder to define, and I'm not going to go into it, is the halacha we call the son, usually referred to as carrying, which is a poor translation in English, because it doesn't really mean carrying. You know, it's whoever this is, I'm carrying it, but I didn't do any halacha on Shabbos, right? So technically speaking, so it should be called carrying. It should be called moving it from one domain to another domain, from one area to another area. So that's just, you know, we're not going to go into that. But I'm going to pick some of the halachas that are most difficult to define. I'm going to start with those, and then we can easily go to the other ones. Okay? Trapping is a halacha. So, okay? What is the halacha of trapping? Now, that's not rhetorical. I can answer. Okay. What is the malach of trapping?
Like, if you have a lizard in the house and you want to get the lizard out of the house.
Okay. That's a very good point you just brought up, which I wasn't going to talk about yet. But since you brought it up already, I'm going to mention it, that the case that you're picking is only a forbidden prohibition of trapping. Okay? Okay, it's prohibited, but only rabbinically. And I was going to go later into the between Torah prohibitions, rabbinic prohibitions, but I wasn't doing that in the moment, okay?
Okay,
so let's pick a case which is prohibited in a Torah. If anybody can get it, does anyone know, or should I just tell them? Tell us.
Tell us.
Go ahead.
See a goat, if you want it.
What is the goat doing right now? It's either stealing or it's free. If it's somebody else's goat, then it's stealing.
Okay. That's a whole other thing.
Okay. So let's assume that the person's not going to steal, because after all, they're concerned about Shabbos, and they're hopefully concerned about, right, stealing too. Okay? So the goat is?
Ownerless.
I'm sorry?
Ownerless
goat. Okay? So what is it doing? Where does it sleep at night?
Sorry?
I don't know. Out there.
Okay, out there.
Wherever it wants.
Okay, in other words, it is a wild goat, we'll call it that way, right? It's an ownerless goat. Okay, you picked a mountain goat. Okay, mountain goat is different from her case, but okay. Let's pick a case that will make it easier. I have no problem with your case at all, but I'm going to make the case a little simpler. Okay? And for those of us who are not a term students for the moment, and can really think about eating meat, and really, really want to have a meal that they may never have had before. They want to have some venison. Okay? Everybody know what venison is? Venison is deer meat. Okay? And you really, really want to have deer meat. Okay? It's very popular in many places. Maybe you can get kosher venison today. You can get a lot kosher venison. I'm sorry? You're from South Africa. There's no deer in South Africa. You only have antelope. Anyway. Okay. So you want to have some deer meat. How are you going to get yourself some deer meat? You're going to trap a deer. Now, what do you do when you trap the deer? They're not easy to trap, by the way.
But okay.
Okay, so you're going to set up a trap in some way, and you don't want to harm the deer because you want to be able to have a kosher deer meat afterwards. And you know if you hurt it too badly, you might make a trade. So you're going to set up a system whereby you do that, okay? Okay, now we've overcomplicated the case. But another way you could trap a deer, if you could do it, is lasso it. Okay, you can lasso it. Okay, and if you're really skilled at it, you can take a lasso. You wrap around two legs of the deer. Right? One leg of the deer won't help you that much. You have to be stronger than the deer. If you can get around two legs of the deer this way, that deer's not going anywhere. Right? And you've now successfully, what have you done? Trapped the deer. Okay? If you did it on Shabbos, what did you just do? One of the malachas on Shabbos. You did it on the weekdays, you also did the malacha, but there's nothing wrong with doing a malacha on a weekday. It's only on Shabbos it's prohibited. Okay, so you just did a malacha called trapping. Okay? You created a change. Now, when we think of change, because we're changing in the 21st century and we're taught to think certain ways, we're taught about physical change, chemical change. Have you done a chemical change when you lassoed this deer? No way. Have you done a physical change?
Yeah.
Also no way. Not really. You really have done a physical change. Physical change means change of state, whatever it might be. You haven't really changed it. You have done something that I'm going to call a functional change. What do we mean by functional change? But so now you can do anything with this deer. It was out in the wild, right? I see deer all the time, by the way. I go for walks when I'm relaxed. I go for walks in the forest right outside our neighborhood. The Yaakov, the Iron Shrine, the section there. I would say about half the time I see a deer on the way. There's deer in the forest, and I see them, you know. So, and the surprise is they don't see me and they don't run. But I guess they're used to seeing mankind already, you know. But I see deer, not infrequently. So, you know, so you see a deer. I can't do anything with that deer. He can't do anything with me, I can't do anything with him. Okay? If I had a lasso and I was very skilled, right, and I lassoed two legs of that deer, right, I just made that deer what?
Food.
I made it into potential food. I didn't make it into food yet, because what do I have to make into food? I have to shecht it, which is a different malacha. Okay? I have to shecht it. But by lassoing that deer, I trapped it. That is a functional change. Okay? The deer has become something I couldn't use, and now it became something that I can use. Okay, now I'm going to go to a different malacha that you may have studied about a little bit and found it very closely. Almost everybody finds this malacha confusing, including some of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim walking the face of the earth. That's called Bo-Rare. What did you say?
Muktzah
is not one of the malachas, right?
No.
Okay. Muktzah happens to be very confusing and very complicated. Okay. One of my sons-in-law just recently started joined a new kollel in which he's planning to learn the laws of Shabbos for 7 years in this kollel. And their first project that he's going to be working, one of the projects they're going to do is Muktzah. They'll probably spend close to 2 years doing Muktzah.
Plus.
If they're spending 7 years doing the laws of Shabbos, they'll spend over a year learning the laws of Muktzah full time.
Wow.
Okay, so you feel that after Rabbi Yisrael, this is a rare Muktzah, you feel that you're a little bit confused about it. Say, well, that's only because I haven't spent a year plus doing it full time. If I spent a year plus doing it full time, maybe I would be more confused. Okay? So, Boer, we translate that as selective, right? We find Boer, most people find Boer confusing. Yes, everybody finds Boer confusing. If you don't find Boer confusing, then there's something wrong with you. Okay. Everybody finds Boer confusing. It's very confusing. Even after you've memorized the basic three rules, right, of Boer, right, which is to take the good from the bad, and right before you need it, right, and use your hand or an extension of your hand, it's still confusing. Now, I'm going to throw at you something that you're going to find even more confusing unless you even know it already. You have a drain in your sink, okay? Something's in the drain that is causing everything to back up from the sink. Now, it's not backing up down there, it's on the top. It's just the drain has a sink. And some big pieces of garbage are in the drain, and they're stopping things from flowing through, and you just want to remove those big pieces so the rest of it can drain out.
You can't.
Okay, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos?
No.
Everybody possibly you're not allowed to? Everybody possibly
yes, you're
not allowed,
allowed
to? Well, I disagree. You're allowed to.
I'm
going to
say
okay, why are you allowed to do that? Okay.
It's not blessing. It's already.
Okay, now I'll explain why very simply, and then I'll explain why in concepts we'll understand why this is true. That's why I picked this example.
But you're
the reason why you're allowed to do that is we've heard the term in Boer taking out the good from the bad.
Yeah.
Okay, we call that in Boer jargon, it's called taking the ochel from the psolus. You've heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
Ochel from psolus. So if you haven't, don't worry about it. Ochel means the good, literally the food. Psolus is the stuff you don't want to eat. That's what it's usually, even if it's nothing with food, it'd be clothing too, right? The blouse that I want to wear is the ochel, even though I'm not planning on eating it. And the blouse that I intend to wear tomorrow and not today is the psolus, right? And if they're mixed up together in a way that they're mixed up, and I start pulling out the one that I don't want, I can create a Boer problem, possibly, okay? But what Boer does not involve is sorting out psolus from psolus. Souls from souls, I'm not interested in either one. In this case, I want it all going to the garbage, right? I want it to go down the drain, right? Some is not going to go down the drain because it's too big, so I have to remove it in order to throw it in the regular garbage. I'm not talking about muksa right now, we're talking about boer. Okay? And I want to remove the psolus that's too big from the psolus that's smaller, so that the smaller ones will go down the drain. And the bigger ones, I'll say, yeah, the sink will be fine, I can use my sink again. Okay? Anybody discuss this ever in your health discover classes? Not yet. Okay? It's permitted to separate the solus from solus. There's no prohibition whatsoever. Why is that true? Well, let me explain why. Boer is a concept of taking something that right now I can't use because there's stuff I want and stuff I don't want. And I'm perfecting what I want by removing what I don't want from it. Okay? I'm making a change that is not physical and not chemical, but is
functional.
Everybody see what I'm talking about? I'm making a functional change, okay? Not a physical or chemical thing, but a functional change, okay? To something and now it becomes usable. Okay? Boer is selecting doing that. Sud was trapping to do that. It was a non-fun deer I couldn't do anything with. Now I can use it. This is something I can't use the way I want to use it. Now I can use it the way I want to use it. In the case of the garbage in the sink, do I want to use any of it? I'm not interested in any of it. I want it all to go out the garbage. Right? I'm not functionally changing anything. Right? It's all garbage. I can use my sink. But I'm not using the stuff that I'm doing the boer on or I'm selecting is not changing to be usable. Okay? The stuff that I'm the garbage is remaining garbage. I'm just taking the big pieces out and throwing away and somewhere else. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Okay? Somewhat. You're still confused.
Yeah, because the sink is changing function. You can't use it
now. You can't use it. The sink, but not the product. The product, which is the things in the sink, are not changing function. They're all garbage. Right? They're getting in my way of using the sink, right? But it's not the sink that I'm doing the boer on.
Okay?
I'm just pointing out the concept, okay? Of what we're talking about. We talk about now, functional changes, I'll take questions in a second. I just want to sum up what we've done so far before we take more questions, okay? All malachos of Shabbos involve a functional change, okay? All involve a functional change. And that does not mean that they don't have to be a physical or chemical change. Okay, that's what I just want to point out. This, I told you, function doesn't have to be physical or chemical. It could be both. And not just be a simple example of something that's both. Anyone want to give it for me? Cooking. Right? Cooking is, from a healthy child's point of view, a functional change. But cooking is also a physical change. You're making the things softer. And it's often a
chemical
change. Cooking often has chemical changes in it, right? So cooking can be a physical change, and a chemical change, and a functional change. When we're dealing in Hilchos Shabbos concepts, we're only concerned about the functional change. Okay? Other malachas are not physical or chemical changes at all. As in, right, I picked two of them, Boer and Sud, selecting and trapping as examples where there's never a physical change, never a chemical change, but always a functional change. Okay? Questions?
My question is that if you trap a bug.
Trap a?
Trap a bug.
A bug, it is acceptable.
Why is that not acceptable? Because you don't want that bug.
Okay, as we've asked before, as Courtney asked before, as I have asked before, okay, I said that I don't want, I was going to, that's the term on an issue. It's not a term on an issue. Okay? I have not yet gotten, I hope I get to the point where we can talk about today. This is the rice and the rabbis, okay? But it's not a rice or prohibition. Okay? Now, as we know from the story of Parshas Bereishis, it is very important to know when something is permitted in Torah, permitted in Rabbanan. Okay? Everybody know what I'm referring to? If you don't, I'll review it quickly. Okay? Hashem told Adam, what are they not allowed to do?
Eat
from the Eitz HaDa'as. Right? What does Chava tell the Nachash?
We're
not allowed to touch the Eitz HaDa'as. Hey, Hashem never told them that. She goes, Hashem said we're not allowed to touch it. That's not true. Hashem never said we're not allowed to touch it. Hashem said we're not allowed to eat it. And as the Otis Drav Nosson says, Adam said, hey, if we don't touch it, we won't come to eat it. It's a good thing to make the Gzeirin Rabbanan and not to touch it. And that's a good idea. The problem is, you have to tell people what's Asim and Aserah, what's Asim and Rabbanan. Okay, so I'm telling you right away, right? Trapping a bug is open us in the Rabbanan. Okay? Trapping a deer, if I pick that case, or Michelle's case of the goat that's not domesticated, is also part of the Minatara. Okay? It doesn't have to be trapping for food that's part of the Minatara, by the way. They're trapping for other reasons. For example, you are a scientist and you've developed, or you need for research purposes, you want to catch lizards, not because they're annoying, but because there's actually research going on with this. Have you ever seen the lizards in this country go up the wall and up the ceiling?
Yeah.
Okay. So scientists are very interested in how they manage to cling to the ceiling. But it's gravity problem. Okay, so they actually are studying how the legs of the lizards work in order to be able to catch that, and they want to use that for things like all sorts of situations in which they're actually studying them. So let's say you are the research assistant, or you're the doctor, you're the professor involved in this research, so you go out to catch these lizards because you want to research them. For him, in that Torah, and Rabbanan. Minatara. You want those lizards. Okay? Actually, it's not so simple. A whole other question. Right? There's a possibility you might need the Rabbanan for a different reason, which we haven't got into. But I just want to show you. The concept is not that you don't want the lizard, not the lizard's annoying you. I want that lizard. Right? In your case, you don't want it, because if you wanted it, you wouldn't call it a bug. Right? You know, if you wanted it, you would have called it a Drosophila bug. Right? If you call it a bug, that's because it's annoying you. Right? So that's why it's only Drabonim, okay? Okay, let's hold on that for a second, okay? So, we talked about the concept of Malacha versus the concept of Avoda, okay? We talked about the concept of Av versus the concept of Tolda. Av and Tolda are both prohibited Minatora. Okay? We haven't talked at all yet about what's prohibited Minatora versus what's prohibited Minrabonim. We have talked about the fact that the general concept of melacha is creating a functional change. Now, functional change for whom?
Us, like
for
benefit.
Whom? Sorry?
Benefit.
Benefit for whom?
Us.
Okay. Go ahead, loud and clear.
Men.
For men, right? In other words, for the animal kingdom. What we're doing in our functional change isn't going to make a big difference, right? Most of our people, they don't really care whether the food's cooked well or not. They don't really, really care whether you trap the deer or not. I guess they would. A lion would be easier if the deer's been trapped already, right? It's an easier meal for him and he has to go catch it himself. But if he's out for that deer and he's, you know, we're not trapped. So the concepts of function are human. Okay, mankind's function. Now, this is very interesting. Stop and think about it for a second. It's a little unusual. When we keep Shabbos, why do we keep Shabbos? Sorry? Hashem said so, yeah. But more, on a deeper level, right? We weren't attracted to keeping Shabbos because Hashem said so. We were attracted to keep Shabbos because? Because it gives life meaning. Right? It speaks to our soul. Okay?
It's a message.
I couldn't hear you. What?
Menuchas HaNefesh.
It gives us Menuchas HaNefesh, okay? So Shabbos speaks to us, right? It speaks to us as human beings relating to Hashem. Right? And the Malachas of Shabbos speak to us as
humans
human
relating
beings
to the
relating, right? Relating to the world. Right? You see that? Right? The concept of Malacha being a functional change is a human idea, how humans relate to the universe. And one second, back up a second here. When Hashem created the world, what did he tell man at the very beginning? Pruvu Yeshuas Aretz, right? Man, the world is there for you to use. Right? With what proviso, what conditions? Follow the Torah and recognize the fact that on Shabbos, when we are recognizing that Hashem created the world, what do we do?
Not malacha.
No functional changes in the world. 6 days of the week we are given control of the world and we're told, right, that we are entitled to follow functional change in the world as long as we keep the rest of the Torah. Any functional change you want to do is perfectly fine as long as it follows the other verses of the Torah. Right? On Shabbos, we're told, we have to recognize, where did we get this authority from? From He who created the world. And He's telling us, remember that, where you got your authority from, and therefore on this day, there are no functional changes. So sure, if I want to get from here to the Mayako on a Shabbos, from an Avoda point of view, the best way to get there is
driving.
But that does malacha. That creates functional change in the world. Right? The concept of malacha, the concept of Shabbos as a Yom Menucha, is not a day of rest. It's a day of no functional changes. Okay? That's its main thrust. Yes, it's a day of rest. But it's a day of rest within the framework of withdrawing from our position as a controller of man of the world through God's instruction to just be back and no changes. Just function here without any control over nature. Okay? Recognize the fall Hashem gave to us. Okay? Now that becomes a much deeper meaning, right? We've heard this before. I'm sure we've all heard some of this before at some time or another, right? But it probably didn't have the meaning it has right now. Right? Now we're seeing it in a scope, right? A picture of what that really, really means in a broad scope of what this is all about. Okay, everybody see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay? Questions on what we've done so far? Okay, I want to touch now in the 10 or 12 minutes that they've given me left. Okay? I want to touch on the Darabbanans. Okay? In order to violate Shabbos Min HaTorah, you have to be a Talmud Chacham. Okay? That sounds strange, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. You heard what I said. Okay, I'm going to explain why. Okay? Because the laws of Shabbos are set up in such a way that there are so many possibilities of Darabbanans involved, okay, that unless you know what you're doing, you probably won't violate the Torah law. You probably violate the rabbinic law without realizing it. Okay? And I'll just give you some examples of it, okay? We talked when I talked about right away about trapping. The first example was about a lizard that's annoying you, bugs that are bothering you, and then I told you those are not the Raisa. They're not. They're only the Rabbonin. Why? Because functionally you haven't accomplished anything. You don't want that bug. You still want it to bother you, right? As a matter of fact, if you took a fly swatter and you swatted a mosquito, turn law, right away with the law. Loud and clear, rabbinic law. Okay? In order to violate the violation of killing something or slaughtering it Min HaTorah, what does it have to be? Min HaTorah? Sorry?
Shechita.
It doesn't have to be Shechita, because after all, Shechita would be there if you wanted to eat it.
Oh.
So let's say you're in the leather business, and you wanted some crocodile leather.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, in order to get crocodile leather, what do you have to do? Well, you may have to get it, you're trapping it, but you certainly can't get the leather out without killing it, right? Okay, so now, if you want crocodile leather and you trap and kill a crocodile, which is a lizard, right? It's, after all, that's all it is a lizard. It's a big lizard. It's a lizard I wouldn't want to run into on a store in a small alley, right? But it's a lizard. That's all it really is. Okay. Violation of Hatorah min Rabbanan. Minotaurah, folks. You want the leather, right? You want the leather. Right? Crocodile leather shoes are very expensive items. I wouldn't buy a pair like that, right? I suspect that most people in this audience wouldn't be interested either. But at a marketplace, they're expensive leather, right? Okay? So the bottom line is it's leather that people want, marketable, okay? Therefore, trapping it and killing it, the Torah violation. Okay, so let's talk about some of the Rabbanims, okay? If I don't want the result of that malocha, it's not prohibited in a Torah according to most opinions. So, for example, if you're a fly, if you're bugs, excuse me, right? Okay, I don't want the bugs, right? I would be very happy if the bugs disappeared. I don't want dead bugs, right? I want no bugs, right? Precisely, right? I don't want a dead lizard. I want no lizard, right?
I want a dead lizard.
Okay. Who wants a dead lizard?
I don't.
Why do you want a dead lizard?
No, like I want the lizard to be dead.
No, you don't. You don't want it to be here.
I like lizards.
Okay, now if you want the lizard to be dead because you're doing research on that lizard, then you want there to be a lizard and you want it trapped, right?
Right.
Then we're dealing with Torah prohibition. Okay. But if your goal is, right, then I really don't want the lizard to be all together. It's avoiding me. My real sense, I don't want it here. Okay? Now, there are major ramifications of this concept. They come up over and over again in Hilchos Shabbos, okay? And sometimes you'll hear psakim like, why is that permitted and this is prohibited? And it's usually an extenuating situation. Somebody's ill, and you're told that you can do X because of that situation. Right? Or, you know, it's an emergency situation and you're told that this was okay. Well, why was that okay now? And a lot of it ties into these types of answers. Okay? It's really a rabbinic prohibition. It's not prohibited in the Torah. And the reason is because of, you'll hear a very fancy word that some will throw out, like, or Makalkil, or Eina Miskave. Right? I'm not going into all those rules. I don't think they're even in Rabbi Aslovitz's curriculum. Okay? All of these concepts and terms, right, all boil down to, right, the fact that I don't really need the result of the malach activity. It's not, what was the word I used before? A functional change that I'm interested in. Okay? If it's not a functional change that I'm interested in, usually, right? The prohibition is only Rabbanan. Still prohibited. You always ask the question of it. It's prohibited. It's only Rabbanan. What's the difference? Could be a lot of differences. Okay, lots of differences. Question.
Is this just the example of figuring out all the trapping? Is it just with trapping, or if you don't want
to? No, it's only any of the malachas. Pick me any malacha you want.
I want to know about the braiding.
Braiding. One second. Huh?
To make a braid.
Braiding hair.
Which is Rabbanan.
Okay, braiding hair into a, in other words, you're braiding, okay, which would be a question, okay, that's a complicated case. You want to know which, why is it prohibited? I don't want to go into that right now, only because of the amount of time we have, okay? Afterwards we can talk about it, but that's an unusual case with some complications, okay? A different case, picking one of the malachas that we mentioned, and you want, because we've been talking about trapping.
Laundry.
Okay.
Laundering.
Exactly, okay? So, laundering, okay? So first of all, just to point out, in terms of avos and toldos, okay? I presented to you as laundry as an of. There's actually an opinion in Rishonim that the avolah is not laundering, but leaching. And laundering is a toldo. Leaching. Okay, there is such an opinion. Now, there's a lot of focus, we don't go into that, whether the Avmaloch is laundering or bleaching. Either way, laundering and bleaching are both prohibited in a Torah. That's not a question. Okay, now, you want a case where you don't really need the laundering. Okay, as an example. Okay. Dry your hands on a towel. Are you laundering the towel when you do that?
No.
You're not. Okay. What happens if you have... Let's take a good example of this. You have a spill. No, that's not a good example. Do you mind if I switch from laundering to dyeing? Only because dyeing seems to strikes me better. I'll think a little bit about laundering to find the case good, but dyeing, I think it's good. What's the dyeing? Okay? Now, okay, you have a garment and you don't like the color. Okay? It doesn't match what you want it to be, or it got a stain on it now, and you want to dye it to a different color, you want to dye the stain. The same, like dry cleaners do this all the time, by the way. You need a very delicate cloth. I know about this because I've been involved in getting cover of these questions, believe it or not. But you have a very delicate garment. It has a stain. You bring it to the dry cleaner. He's not sure he can get the stain out. Okay? He's not sure he can get the stain out. You tell him, do whatever you can, I can't wear it as it is anyway. What he does is, he takes a very strong, the right word's not detergent.
Dyeing agent?
No, it is a, drawing a blank on the word in English for it. It's a solvent, that's what I'm looking for, a solvent. Okay, he takes a very strong solvent that he thinks will probably dissolve, right, the stain. We may also know the process.
Dissolve the clothes.
No.
Dissolve the fabric.
It could just change the coloring of the fabric. Because if it's dissolving the stain, it could also dissolve the color. So what does he do? He's a smart guy. He knows his business well. He does the entire garment with the equal amount of that solvent. Okay? He will probably get the stain out. And
the color, the whole
if
garment.
The color is affected,
will
the color will be consistent. Okay? So you'll have, when you're finished, a clean garment that might be a different color than what you wanted originally. Okay? Okay. Now my question for you is, let's say that happened, and he ended up dyeing the garment. Okay? Did he violate cleaning it Minat Torah and dyeing it Minat Torah?
Dyeing it.
Either or both.
Both.
Not dying.
The answer is
dying.
He violated cleaning it Minat Torah and dyeing it only Minarabbanan. Why did he only violate dyeing Minarabbanan?
Because he didn't want that color.
He didn't want it the second color. He preferred it to change the color. But the only way he had of getting rid of the stain was to use the solvent, right, which might affect the color, and it did affect the color, but he didn't really want the second color. He dyed it, but he didn't want it. It's like you didn't want your bugs. He ended up changing the color, but he didn't want to. Now, that was still prohibited in that Torah because of the cleaning, but not because of the dyeing. Okay? You see the principles, right? So now we have, and we can put any of the 39 malachas we can do this with, right? Every one of the 39 malachas, we can find ways where it's only a rabbinic, and not the Rav Raisa, okay? And that's the background. Okay, let's just sum up what we're doing, okay? Number one, okay? Why did Hashem give us the laws of Shabbos? Why did the Torah tell us why he gave us the laws of Shabbos?
Remember that he gave
loud and clear.
Remember that he gave us command of the world.
That's right. He created the world, right? He gave us authority and control, right, over this world. Control, notice we use that word, right? We can do, right, changes in the world, functional changes, right? All the rest of the week, but not on Shabbos, okay? In other words, the purpose of Shabbos is to recognize from where we got this authority, right? That's just Hashem there, right? As I've mentioned before, in this class, right? There should not be almost any person in the world who fails to recognize that God created the world in 7 days. You can prove it. What's the proof that God created the world in 7 days?
That it's seven-day week.
There is almost not a society in the world that doesn't have a seven-day week. Right? Now, if I were creating weeks, I would either make them in multiples that are easy to divide, 4, 6, or 8. Right? Or I would do them 5 and 10, because that's how my fingers are. That's where you are digits. The most illogical number to use for a week is
7.
It makes no sense. Have you ever tried to adjust a week of 8 or 6 days? Right? I dare you to try. Okay? Why should it be so hard? Right? It should be perfectly logical to do so, right? And why would any society live for 7 days if they didn't have a Masorah going back thousands and thousands of years of tradition that the world was created in 7 days? Societies that have absolutely no contact with one another from all places in the world all virtually all have a 7 day week, right? So if anyone who wants to deny that God created the world in 7 days, give me a good answer why societies all over the world have a 7 day week, right? Right? If you can answer me that, right, you're not going to be able to. Right? You're not. Right? Let me just pick one. So the malacha activities that we were given, right, are to show, right, that we recognize that Hashem gave us this world for this purpose. Okay? And the definition of all the law activities is a functional change. Right? Every one of the malachas can be changed. The one malacha, by the way, that's much harder to do, and that's why you steer away from it, is carrying. What's harder to do? Why is it moving this way? Yes, now or not? I'm going to hold on that one, okay? We'll leave it for today as a confusing question that I don't have an answer to. That's fine. Because though we've spent 3.5 years studying Shabbos full time, right, we have no right to consider ourselves authorities on Hilchos Shabbos. We consider ourselves no more than the next guy might know, but that's about it, right? Authorities, we aren't. Okay? But we have a bit of an understanding of what it's about. Okay? That's our basic functional. Av, Melocha, of Tolda, we understand that. Okay, there was one question I'm going to answer. You get a question, right?
I was going to say that the argument from someone who doesn't believe on the seventh weekday as a proof would be historical and sociological, right? Because we live in a society that is Western centralized. Whatever rules there will affect the rest of the world, and therefore you could have arguments that either
okay, the reason why it's not true is because most Aboriginal societies have a week of 7 days, and East Asian societies, which have no contact with the Western world, have weeks of 7 days also. So it's not true. The person can argue it.
Yeah.
Right, but it's a law. It's false. That doesn't stop people from arguing things that are false all the time. It's false. There's one thing we have not answered. We have not answered a very critical question. I'm surprised that nobody raised their hand to ask it.
Why can't we turn lights on?
Huh?
Yeah, why can't we turn lights on?
You tell me the answer to that.
What do you mean? It's a functional
okay.
question.
Okay.
Okay.
The one question that we haven't answered yet is, if Shabbos is everything we talked about, why are only Jews required to keep Shabbos?
Well, I know.
We're the match to Shabbos.
I'm not giving you the answer already. Okay. I'm leaving that as a question. Okay, that doesn't mean I don't have an answer to it. I'm just leaving it that as a question.
Bravo.
Okay, everybody, take a break for your next class.